Well, the bad news is you have to deal with me tonight. Thank you, Brother Warren. The good news is it won't take long. I've got about 12 minutes of notes here. So either we'll have a move of God, or we'll get to Cracker Barrel before the Baptists. If they still have church on Wednesday, I don't know if they do. But I do have a word from the Lord tonight. I spent a lot of time trying to get away from this message. And I said, Lord, this one's going to hurt. And he wouldn't let me. So here we go. Genesis chapter 39. I want to read verses 7 through 12. And right before we read, I want to go ahead and tell you now, I'm going to open these altars now. So when you feel a bump in the Holy Ghost, if you feel God move on you, just come on down. Because like I said, this might be over. If you go to the restroom and wash your hands, you might miss the whole thing. The praise group's not going to hear nothing. But when you feel something in the Holy Ghost, you go ahead and respond. You don't wait for a closing tonight, okay? These altars are open because God's here to do something for some people. Genesis 39, verses 7 through 12. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and when there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. The Holy Ghost is here to do a work for some people tonight. He's going to move on you. There's deliverance, there's strength, there's power in this house. Let's just ask him right now to be with us. God, we give you glory and honor. I ask that you look down on us with mercy and grace. Allow your wind, Lord, to fill the sail, Jesus, as we heard Sunday night. Allow your mercy and your Holy Ghost to flow through this sanctuary tonight, oh God. We pray you have your will. And you heal the brokenhearted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many of us are very familiar with the story of Joseph. He was his father's favorite. He was a dreamer. He heard from God from a very young age. His brothers were jealous of him. They were jealous of the vision that he had from God. They were jealous of what God was doing in his life, so they threw him in the pit. They took his coat of many colors. They dipped it in blood. From the pit, he went into slavery. Midianites came by. His brothers decided not to kill him, just to sell him into slavery. Amen. Joseph goes into slavery. He goes with the Midianites to Egypt. Goes into Potiphar's house. And the Bible tells us over and over that God was with him, that God blessed him. He's tempted, but he runs. Joseph has great character. Joseph has great strength. He goes from Potiphar's wife. He's lied on at Potiphar's wife. He does nothing wrong. He remains true and honest to the call of God in his life, but he goes from slavery to prison. And in prison, he remains true to the dream, true to the word, true to the calling that God gave him. He never falters in his faith. Finally, he makes it to the throne, as we all know. And he's second in command over all of Egypt. And his brothers are brought before him. And he tests their character. He checks them to see if they've changed or if they're still the same guys that threw them in the pit. And then he has mercy and grace and love for his brothers. They're delivered into his hands and at his mercy. And I've heard a lot of sermons, Brother Warren, about Joseph. Similar to the outline we just gave, how he was in the pit and God was with him. How he was in the prison and God was with him. How he didn't compromise, how he stayed strong, how he remained true to the dream and the vision that God gave him. And those sermons were never a consolation to me. There's some people in the sanctuary tonight that's your story. I know, you're good people. You've done the right thing. You've been in the pit and you've been strong. It wasn't your fault. You're good people. And the story of Joseph is a consolation to you. And I'm glad. I'm glad it can bring you comfort when you're in the prison and when you're in the pit. But I'm not Joseph. I'm not Joseph. When Joseph was having dreams and visions from God, I was rolling notebook paper and smoking it on my back porch. When Joseph was being persecuted by his brothers because of his connection with God, I was stealing the church van and joyriding with my friends. When Joseph was having the right attitude in slavery and in prison, I was breaking into my dad's drawer at church and stealing money out of the offering plate to go buy cigarettes. I'm not Joseph. When Joseph heard the voice of temptation, he ran, Brother Warren. I didn't run. I entertained the voice of temptation and then I gave into it. No one loved me more than everyone else. I never had a coat of many colors hanging in my closet. I didn't forgive those that hurt and abused me. I grew bitter and angry. I hated them. I would have crushed them if I could. I plotted revenge. I stayed up at night imagining how I could hurt them. I didn't have good character. I didn't do the right thing. I wasn't thrown into a pit by a jealous brother, but I dug my own pit, decision by decision, and I crawled down into that pit, into the mud and into the slime. I'm the jealous brother. I threw others in pits out of anger, out of jealousy. Joseph's story doesn't bring me peace. It doesn't bring me solace because it's predicated on doing the right thing. It's a comfort. It's a word to those that have had the right response. And that's not me. I'm not Joseph, Dwan. I know why God loved Joseph. Because he was noble. He was in the pit and he was noble. He was in the prison and his character was beautiful. He was worthy in my estimation. I see why God put him on a throne. I see why God used him. I see why God blessed him. But I'm not Joseph. I'm ugly. I'm broken. I'm a mess. I've taken holy things and defiled them. I've taken God's mercy and his grace and made a mockery of them. I've taken the Holy Ghost that he gave me and dragged it through places that it should never have been. I'm not Joseph. How can you love me, God, when I don't even love myself? How can you forgive me, God, when I haven't forgiven myself? How can you say you want to use me? How can you say you want to use me when I'm so unworthy? How can a holy, clean God hold something so filthy close to his holiness? But the Holy Ghost is here tonight to do just that. He's here tonight to silence the voices in some saints of God's head, to cover you again with blood and mercy and grace, to move you towards the calling that he has on your life. He doesn't just love you and forgive you. He wants to use you. He's got a job for you. He's got anointing waiting for you. He wants to heal you. He wants to clean you up. He wants to bind your self-inflicted wounds and give you a place in his plan. And you know it. You feel it. You feel the calling of God. You feel the wooing of his spirit on your heart. But you use your failures as a safety blanket to keep from pouring yourself into what he wants you to do. You hold up your past as a banner for disqualification to the calling that he's reaching out to you with. You say, I feel you, God. I hear you calling, but you don't know how ugly I really am. How dirty and broken and useless I really am. I've messed up so many times before, I don't want to disappoint you again. So I'll just stay like I am. I'll just stay where I am because I've tried so many times and I've messed up. But tonight his love, his mercy, his grace, his blood, it's greater than every failure. It's greater than ever falling. It's greater than every sin. And I'm telling you, this church is going somewhere, and God needs you, and he needs me, and he needs you to be more than what you are right now. Psalms 85 and 2, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, thou hast covered all their sins. Colossians 2, 13 through 15, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Isaiah 55 and 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That voice of condemnation, I wanted to hear the scripture of the word of God. There's some people tonight, it's the very word of God that you use to condemn yourself. But I want you to hear what his word says. 1 John 1 and 19, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews 8 and 12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 10, 10 through 23, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, for there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful. That promised. Isaiah 43:25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Psalms 103:10-17. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm just pounding away at that voice tonight. I'm just lifting up a banner of righteousness, a banner of peace, of grace, a banner of forgiveness to the voice, to the condemnation, to the spirit that wants to bring your past back up before you over and over and over again. God wants to use you. He needs you in this time. He needs you right now. He needs you right now. You've got to put down the fear, the failure, the insecurity. You've got to walk out of that and allow him to use you as he wants to use you. Romans 8:31-39. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nor my failure, nor my sin, nor my issues, nor my brokenness, nor my ugliness, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I'm not Joseph, Tuan. I've not always done the right thing. I didn't make the right decision every time. Maybe you're more like an Abraham in the house tonight, whose lack of faith produced an Ishmael and cost thousands of Abraham's own descendants their lives. Maybe a Moses whose lack of faith caused him to strike the rock instead of speaking to it and kept him out of the land of promise. Maybe a Gideon who was hiding in fear behind a wine press when it was time to defend his family and home. Maybe a Samson who laid his head in the lap of the world and gave up the precious relationship he had with God. Maybe a David who was not at war when he should have been, and committed adultery and murder. Maybe you're more like the disciples that all abandoned Jesus at the cross and left him alone with his enemies. Maybe you're like Peter, who walked on the water for a moment, but then he got distracted and he sank. And then he denied Jesus 3 times at the cross. Every one of them, Tuan. Every one of those men we just named, listed in the faithful of God. Every one of those men had mission, had calling, had anointing, had destiny on their lives. You know the difference between Judas and Peter. When Peter was at his lowest, he came to himself and went back to God. Judas hung himself and died. There's some people in the house tonight, you got to get back up. You got to get back up. You might have fallen. You might have. I don't know. I don't know what Potiphar's wife was for you. I don't know what that voice of temptation is. But I promise you, you are not disqualified from the calling of God that He's put on your life. You are not disqualified from the anointing that He's given you. Let's just pray for a minute. These altars are open tonight. Lindsay, go ahead and come.
I knew you when I called you.
Come on, he's calling on you tonight. Come on, he's calling on you tonight. There's destiny. There's destiny on you. No, you're not perfect, but there's destiny on you. No, you're not perfect. Yes, you made mistakes, but he wants to use you. He needs you tonight.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Praise God, 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 praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Don't really know how to dismiss this. Just stay as long as you want in this presence of God. He wants to use His church. There's a mighty revival coming, and He needs every one of us on board. He needs us plugged in. He needs us ready to go. There's an anointing, there's calling, there's destiny, and we've got to step out from the fear, from the insecurity, from our own failure, most of all. And be willing and able, be courageous enough to step into what God's calling you to do. Find a brother or a sister and strengthen them. Stay as long as you like. Keep the pastor and all those traveling in your prayers, and we'll have another good time in the Holy Ghost on Sunday.